Hey, everybody. It's Scott here. Welcome back to Verbal Shenanigans, and thank you for tuning in. We have an awesome episode for you today. But let's get to the sponsors real quick that we are lucky enough to work with. And one of them happens to be Man Skirt Brewing, located in Hackettstown, New Jersey, in the old bank building on Main Street. Just a great place to go grab a beer, try some seasonally inspired ales, and just a great place to hang and relax. They got a couple things going on this Saturday. Tomorrow, they got Mayfest going on. They're closing down the streets, having food, music, beer, even more beer. Make sure you go check that out. Check out Manskirt Brewing. They also have the Beer Bacon Barbecue on Saturday in Morristown, New Jersey. So that is Manskirt Brewing, located in Hackettstown, New Jersey. We also happen to work with an apparel company called Wolf Nation. Wake up, live free, W-U-L-F Nation. They got all sorts of new designs. They're introducing the first Wolf Nation camouflage snapback hats and shirts, both for males, females. They have new Rolls-Royce design and a Coca-Cola design coming out. Coming soon, the direct garment print, also the Diamond Series logos, glitter silver, black, blue, white, gold. They have polos, sweatsuits, hoodies, joggers, all sorts of things coming out. That is Wolf Nation, W-U-L-F Nation. Just a really great brand for both men, women, children, up-and-coming, designer apparel. And it's only a dream if you're not pursuing it. That is Wolf Nation's motto. Very happy to work with them. That is Wake Up, Live Free, Wolf Nation. And Trivia Revolution, fueled by craft beer. Trivia Revolution is a trivia company that does kind of like beer-themed trivia all throughout the state of New Jersey and beer bars and breweries. Bonus items each week on Facebook and Instagram. So check out Trivia Revolution, fueled by craft beer. All right, this week we are joined once again by one of our favorite all-time interviews. Interviewees, I guess is the word. But UFC legend Jim Miller. He's just an awesome guy. Open, funny, honest, and make sure you go follow him. So here's our interview with Jim Miller, and enjoy the podcast.
Tragic.
Which makes them not shenanigans at all, really.
Evil shenanigans.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says shenanigans.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another one of these damn things, another one of these podcasts here. Mike, how you doing down there?
We're doing fine, Scotty. Enjoying the Georgia weather until we get about, I think they're predicting about 2 to 3 inches of rain in the next couple of days. So.
Oh, good.
We basically got your weather down here.
Yes. Right now, you're like, there's like a light behind you, and you look kind of like an angelic, like shadowy figure.
Yeah, well, I'm podcasting from my brother's office / my father's workroom. If you want to see, as I gaze over, there's a circular saw behind me.
A nice chop saw behind you. Is that the General Lee behind you? No, it's a different kind of car.
No, that was my dad's original car. I forget what kind that was, but it is kind of General Lee orange tint. I will say that.
That workshop is like every dad's workshop. Like if there was like a scene on like Home Improvement or something like that, that would be like the setting for that. But it seems like each week you're in a new setting. Like it's like, where's Berlew going to be this week?
Yeah, I figure I got to keep it light. You know, I got to keep it guessing where you're going to see the burls coming from, you know?
Oh, yeah. That's the highlight.
You look at the video one day, wait a minute, that looks like my living room. Dun, dun, dun.
That's the highlight of my week, just thinking about where's he going to be this week? Where's that tricky that tricky prankster going to be?
Scott, Marietta, oh!
Yeah. So, Oh, my dog opened the door. So coming off of episode 200, bro, we are now on the on the climb, I guess, to the next
centennial.
Yeah, I guess the next landmark podcast. It would be what, 300?
I guess 250 is also a round number. I mean,
I feel like no one cares about 250 though. No one's like, hey, you're 250th. I mean, no one cared about our 50th besides us.
No, we had some guests coming in and congratulating us, if you recall. As you recall, Watson congratulated us on our 500th.
Yeah. but we all
300 away.
But that's not necessarily true, because we may or may not have asked them to send fake congratulatory messages.
Oh,
I just tore down.
Yeah, nobody cares.
Yeah, I just tore down the fourth wall.
you're like a living Deadpool, Scotty. Just talking to the camera.
Living Deadpool.
Mm-hmm. So that actually sounds like a good band name, Living Deadpool.
It sounds like the name of a Rob Zombie song.
Yeah.
He has Living Dead Girl, I believe. He has a song called that. So.
Yeah. Wow. Well, this is where the girl swims in the Living Dead pool.
She just laps. She works on her swimming routine.
Just everything is Living Dead something. Living Dead chair. Living Dead plunger.
You see that saw behind you?
Mm-hmm.
Please go put your head under it.
Okay. Well, I failed chop, so I probably won't be able to turn it on anyway. So,
Living Dead guy.
Obi's singing along.
Was shop not your thing?
I just don't have the coordination. I think I told it on the cast, but the basic story is I had one shop class. I got a C in it, and the reason I got a C in it was I was failing. The instructor cut his finger off. Oh, yeah. So by rule, the final, you got an A, so it evened out, and I got my C.
Wait. So the rule was the shop teacher cut his finger off, so everyone gets an A?
Well, everybody got an A on the final because obviously he was going to be out more than a couple days because of a missing finger.
It'd be funny if that was like the unspoken rule. Like, well, if your professor cuts his finger off, everyone gets an A. Everybody's like...
That sounds like a movie like Jason Bateman would be doing, you know?
Is it like everyone's trying to jam the saws and like, you know, loosen up the screws?
All right, I want you to unplug it. And when Mr. Bernstein comes by, you know what to do.
I liked shop. I wish I did more of it. Like, I did it in senior year of high school, but it was like we had like block scheduling, and it was the last block, and me and my buddy would just go skip school every day and go play FIFA, like FIFA like 98 on like the PlayStation or something, and that's all we did.
When they're like 8-bit characters and all, you're like, oh, this will never get any better.
And he was like a World War II veteran. I mean, no, like a Vietnam veteran. He was shot. Like, he would have random flashbacks in the middle of class. They'd be like, oh, like, no, anytime there's like a loud bang, he'd be like, God damn it. Ooh. Mm. So.
Did he hate it when there was Asian kids in his class?
Yeah. He kept calling them Charlie for some reason.
Maybe he was a Sonny fan. I don't know.
Yeah. I actually made a table that I still have. It's like a little. Tiny, like almost like an end table. I still have it. It's not the worst thing in the world. Like, I actually used it in my old basement. I had it.
Okay.
And then I remember making like a napkin holder for like a bunny napkin holder. Like, the two ends were rabbit heads.
Well, I remember like everybody was forced to do like one elective. I had my shop in junior high. It was like kind of like it was a roaming course, so you had to make sure you did like one home ec course, one music course, stuff like that. But I remember like the shop class, they had classes on like making alligators and all different types of animals. Like, yeah, it would be like you would saw up a design and it would look like an alligator, and you put wheels on it. Like, like the kids who had like real talent, you would see them at the end of the year just like rolling their alligator across the hall or something. It's like, all right, that kid knew what he was doing.
Yours had like square wheels. It's like, no teeth. Just
a block. I just drew on it.
It was a two by four with a tail.
Gator caps on top of it.
It was just a 2x4 with like plastic wheels on it. It's my gator.
It's Wally. He's my friend. He was one of the friends with Woody Woodpecker and my imaginary friend.
Oh, yeah. For those of you who have no idea what we're talking about, Mike had a whole crew of imaginary friends that we learned one episode. It was, I don't know, it was a while back now, but it was quite the conversation. Would you like to, just quickly before we get to our guest, recap some of your imaginary friends for our new audience?
Well, let's see. It was Woody Woodpecker. That was the well-known one. I had Wally the Walrus. I had some kind of octopus in there. I forget his name. And there was a few others, just like random characters.
Yeah,
in there hanging.
Only a couple episodes that, you know, they would appear here and there. You know, they weren't like cast. They were just like, you know, guest stars.
Well, you know, it'd be like each adventure to be a certain amount. You know, you didn't want to overwhelm people. It wasn't the Avengers, for God's sakes. I couldn't put them all in every adventure.
But what adventure? And where were these adventures going on? Just your head while you sat in the corner?
Just like running in the backyard or something like that. I don't know.
And you'd be like, Wally, Wally, you're with me. Guard my six. Get on my... Okay.
Like... Yeah, you sound like that. That's good stuff, man.
Well, I feel like we've touched this subject, but I feel like I have a whole lot more questions, you know, delving into your imaginary friend. So we might have to talk about that a little bit after the break here. Oh, after our guest, I should say.
Okay.
But it is time. It is guest time. We have a returning guest today, one of my favorite guests. We actually got to sit down live last time with him at Tap House and his brother. So we have UFC legend Dan Jim Miller. That Dan is his brother. Jim,
that's not on the show.
Yeah. No, we have Jim Miller coming up, who has the most wins for a lightweight, I believe. He's got 41 professional fights. Like he's been around for a long, long time. And he's just he's an awesome character. If you follow on Instagram, he's hilarious. You know, he's just a country bumpkin from Sparta, New Jersey, and he's a good guy, so I'm excited to get him back on the show. There's a lot I want to ask him about some of the current things in UFC, but I also want to ask him just about, like, he's a big hunter, he's a big craft beer guy, so hopefully we get to get in a little bit of that, because last time we did a lot more of, like, his career and whatnot, so let's give the one and only Jim Miller a call. Jim, what's going on, man?
Not much.
What are you doing right now? Skinning a boar or sitting in a tent hunting geese? What's going on?
Not yet. I'm packing to go to Wisconsin tomorrow for about 8 days.
Hunting trip?
Doing some turkey hunting, probably some muskie fishing, stuff like that.
What is the goal? What are you going for?
What am I going for? To shoot some turkeys in the face.
Turkey. To shoot them right in the face.
Just random things. We don't care. Oh, was that Aaron Rodgers? My bad.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what we get, but something's getting shot in the face.
That's right.
So, Jim, I was saying it's probably been about, it's a little over a year since we got to sit with you at Tap House. And, you know, a lot's been going on, not just in the world of fighting, but I feel like last time was mostly about your career, and there's a whole lot more to it. Yeah, I wanted to talk to you about, you know, hunting and craft beer and stuff like that. So thanks for giving us a few minutes here.
No problem.
So I guess I wanted to ask you one thing off the bat. You are I know you were affected with Lyme disease.
Yes.
And I follow your posts, you know, either they're cracking me up or, you know, like But you got a good social media profile. But recently I know you put something up about Lyme disease. How long have you been dealing with that?
I was diagnosed in March of 2016. And the tough part about it is that I'm like over 50% of the people that have the disease, and that I didn't I never had a bullseye.
Right.
You know, in my life, I found one tick that was biting me. You know, I found plenty on me, but only one tick that had actually, like, latched onto me. And that was when I was, like, 14. It was actually kind of weird because it was in the middle of, like, French class or something like that. I ran my hand through my hair, and I was like, what the hell is that? So I, like, popped this tick off in the middle of class. I was like, oh, shit.
I find breaking out the speaker's like, no, no, en français, en français.
Yeah. Yeah. but yeah, I didn't know, and I, depending on, like, the way my symptoms, when they started to come on, was probably, you know, it was early 2015.
Okay, so relatively, you know, recently.
Yeah, you don't, the thing is, you don't know. I mean, I had some, like, I had, like, a bunch of migraines in a row in 2013, which can be a symptom of, like, early Lyme disease.
Right.
But, you know, and I got tested at that time, and I didn't test positive for it. I still don't test positive for it, you know? So, like most. So, you know, it could have been a few years that I was dealing, you know, that it was kind of, like, building strength. Yeah, it kind of started to come to head, to a head in 2015, and by early 2016, I was hurting. You know, a lot of the classic symptoms that most people get, you know, stricken with, the brain fog, which is just rough, because it's like you go to do something and you, it's not just totally forgetting. It's like you just don't know even, like, where to go, what to do, what to do, where to start. You know, I had, you know, pretty intense joint pain. I actually thought I had arthritis. I thought I had, like, rheumatoid arthritis. I was telling my doctor, and he's like, yeah, he's like, we'll get you tested and stuff like that. And that's when we kind of found out about it, because I would wake up in the morning and pretty much not be able to move. Funny
now,
enough.
Now, at any point were you, like, thinking, like, some of these symptoms might be from fighting or from?
Yes.
Yeah. Right.
Yep. 100%. That's exactly what I thought. I thought my knees hurt so bad because of fighting. I thought that, you know, I would say the wrong word every now and then because of fighting, you know, even though I haven't been knocked out that many times. I haven't taken many big hits in training, but we know now that it's the little ones. It's those little ones that you deal with every day,
mm-hmm.
that don't hurt, that, you know, you don't feel rocked from, you don't feel, dizzy from. Those are the ones that, you know, compound and, you know, the ones that cause a lot of trouble down the line. So I thought it was all those things, and my doctor, you know, like I said, I didn't test positive for it. I tested positive for the antibody that they associate with it,
right?
Yeah. But it's still not a 100% test, you know. And my doctor was like, "Yeah, let's just try. You know, we'll do a little clinical of doxycycline." And he's like, "If you have Lyme disease, you're going to feel noticeably different in 3 or 4 days." And wow. it was ridiculous. You know, it's kind of one of those, like, you know, you kick yourself in the ass. It's like, what the hell? Like, it was that, you know, it was right there. It was right in front of me. And you put it behind, you know, you're thinking it's something else. And then, you know, it was something that was at least relatively treatable. You know, I mean, it's still dealing with things. And you know, it got to the point where it's chronic. So it's going to take a lot to get rid of it. But, at least I know my enemy now. So
yeah,
yeah, it's a scary thing, because that's what my dad went through. He had no idea, mm-hmm. and same thing. Did tests. Doctors constantly told him, "Oh, we can't find nothing. It's in your head. It's in your head." It got really scared for him. We didn't find out until, like, years later. He actually had, like, a tape recording where he was given his last will and rights, because he was thinking he was. Wow. A goner, or has had something, or even thought about, you know, ending it. So, yeah, wow. it's people just take it lightly and just say it's all the tick disease, but it's a scary thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it also seems like it's one of these diseases that affects everyone. Like, you know, there's some similar symptoms, but it seems like everyone has a different experience with it. Because my mom had it, mm-hmm. too, and hers were, like, headaches and fatigue and whatnot, and... Mm-hmm. I believe since then it's kind of gone away. I think she got treated with, you know, the same thing you did. And I think I don't think she's ever had any, like, you know, recurring symptoms. So I don't know. It's a strange disease that, you know, sometimes we do take for granted. We just hear, oh, it's Lyme disease, you know, like, you know. Mm-hmm. But I see you out there, like, advocating and doing, you know, different events and whatnot. So it's interesting.
Trying.
It's not one of the ones we, you know, hear all the time. Not that one disease is better than another, but, you know, you don't hear a lot about Lyme disease. So, I always thought that was interesting that, you know, I wanted to know if your symptoms, if you thought they were from fighting. So,
yeah, it was totally what it was. You know, like I totally thought that it was from fighting. So I kind of just tried to deal with it, you know, and luckily, like I said, I'm still dealing with symptoms. I'm still fighting. I'm still in the battle. It hasn't gone into remission yet for me. But at least I know what it is. That's the real thing for me. You know, like if I feel like crap now, I know why. it's a lot easier for me to handle. Cause it was difficult. Like I had said in when I was doing some interviews, after that, or when I was fighting at, UFC 200 after 200, that I was close to retiring. I was extremely close to retiring. And having UFC 200 be my last fight. And, it was because of that. I mean, it was because of Lyme disease. It really was. I would train for, you know, be in training for 45 minutes to an hour and go to get up. It's like your knees are like locked up. Like you can't move. It's like, I'm warm. I'm in the middle of it. Yeah. I should be okay. You know, going up and down stairs sideways. Because it was easier on my knees and using the railing every single time I was going upstairs, you know, it was, it sucked. And, you know, like you said, it affects everyone and affects everyone differently. And, we need to bring it to the forefront a little bit more and get some more research done and figure out a way to prevent it and to get rid of it and cure it. Mm-hmm.
Now, have you changed any regimen with you, whether it's training or when you go hunting, whatever, especially hunting with the fear of more ticks out there and doing any kind of extra damage?
I'm a little bit more willing to use, you know, bug spray and stuff like that now. You know, there's some chemicals that you can use to treat your clothes and stuff. And they're kind of scary. You know, there are things that's like, do not get this on your skin, you know, until it's dry, like you treat your clothes. And it's like, you read the warning, it's like, man, what the hell am I doing? But it's supposed to work pretty well. But, you know, believe it or not, like, I find, you know, have found more on me, like, working in the yard, gardening, you know, mowing the lawn, stuff like that. I mean, there have been times where, you know, I've gotten into them in the woods, you know, particularly, it's actually more so fishing. You know, standing in some like high grass and stuff like that. You know? I mean, they move around on mice and stuff like that. You know, so they're everywhere. You know, you don't have to be in the woods.
Yeah, I get a lot. You know, I mean, you're in Sparta. I'm in Denville, where you know they're all over the place. But I get a lot with the dog, you know. Even when I treat him, he's still got a bunch on. I got to take them off, and they're gross and they're filled up. It's gnarly, but
yeah.
So I wanted to ask you. So as you were saying that, you know, you were thought about retiring and whatnot. You get treated for Lyme disease and whatnot. Now you've had a good amount of fights, you know, since 200. What have you? You know, as you get older, you're close to, you know, 40 something fight, you know, what have you changed your training regimen for these things? Have you, and I know you're, like you said, you're going hunting for 8 days. Has these fights allow you to do these kind of things? Have you changed how much you train, you know, like before fights, so when you're not in a camp, or is it pretty much you're used to your system that's been working for a long time?
It's definitely changed, you know. I mean, right now they're all things that pull me away. You know, the family stuff and you know, getting these opportunities to go on a couple hundred trips here and there. Just other things, you know, trying to do a whole bunch of different stuff and find that next thing. And, So there are definitely things that pull me away from the gym, and it's tough. And I'm actually at this point, like in the beginning of my career, I was in the gym pretty much every day.
Right.
You know, I would fight and be right back in it, you know, the following week. And then it got to the point where I was like, okay, I started to need a little time off. You know, things started to get a little banged up probably around like 2000, maybe late 2011, you know, started to take a little bit of time off in between fights. For me now, I actually have kind of gone back to that first thing. At least I prefer it, you know? Like, if I could have hopped right back into training camp, I would have done it. But it's hard without, you know, it's hard to do without that fight booked.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, there are other things. So, but I'd like to be in it more, you know? I used to just be able to deal with it and just train as hard as I could and, you know, barely ever get sore and stuff like that. You know, you deal with bruises and stuff, but, you know, I could work out on it all day and, right. and do it again the next day. Mm. And then it was like the point where I'm like, okay, well, I need a little time off in between fights and in between camps. And now that time off, it's harder to come back. You know, it's actually, that feels worse. Getting back into the swing of things. And, you know, this last one, I was feeling phenomenal. Honestly, I was feeling really good, you know, and ready to go and, you know, just
brutal
shit happened inside the cage, you know? Yeah. I mean, took a pretty good eye poke. My left eye is still a little blurry.
Really?
I gotta say.
Wow.
It made me a bit more, nearsighted in that eye.
Jeez.
Like stuff up close is pretty easy, but you know, once it gets a little farther away, now it's kind of fuzzy. But
wow, that was like a month ago.
You know, I knew that ran through that big knee and in the beginning of the fight I was doing well, keeping my head up and you know, moving to the side when I was throwing my punches, and then I got desperate, you know, I threw an overhand and dropped my head, and he beat me right in the face at the same time.
So, yeah, I know, like, when that originally happened, you had said, I think you posted something that your sinuses were, like, you're going to have surgery, and then, like, a couple of days later, you said no. So I'm guessing, you know, so it just bruised up? What was the verdict on that?
It cracked my sinus. So it kind of just caved in my sinus. So it wasn't, I didn't break my cheekbone or my zygomatic arch or anything like that, or my orbital. All it did was just crack the sinus. So I wasn't sure what they were going to do with it, if they were going to, you know, go in and pop it back out. But I was told that, you know, just to let it heal and a couple weeks out of contact.
Now, when you look back at the fight, are you able to look at that fight and, like, learn something new? Or is there anything in there where you sit back and say, okay, I'm going to change my style in these many ways?
Not really, no. You know, that it, yeah, for that one, it was just, you know, just circumstance, just things happen. You know, like I said, I knew that he threw that knee, you know, and I couldn't see it coming. I honestly couldn't see out of my left eye, you know, so, it's just the way that it goes.
No,
you know, I would have liked to have, when I had the opportunity, when he started to get back up, you know, I kind of kicked myself for not jumping for a guillotine there. But I just didn't feel like I had enough control at the time. But knowing what happened next after that, you know, 2020, hindsight's 2020. So I would have tried to jump even if I just flopped onto my back. But
no, you know, Jim Miller you're 36, 30. 34. So you were the same age. So Jim Miller at 34, as opposed to Jim Miller taking a loss at, I don't know, 24. Mm-hmm. How has your mind changed? Are you able to just shake him off? Do you dwell on it for a couple of days? Do you watch the tape again? Or you just kind of dust it off and say it's over and on to the next one? How have you changed from, you know, being a young fighter to now a very, very experienced fighter?
You know, it's... Now I've had enough opportunities out to know that anything can happen. You know, back then it was like, you know, it hurt. It hurt to lose, and you know, I've been pretty good at learning from my losses and learning from those mistakes that I've made. And you know, now it's shit happens.
Yeah.
Right. Like you go in there, and it's extremely unforgiving. You know, the sport. You know, I still get to fight, man. I still get to do something that I love and enjoy doing. And you know, I get to fight. I don't have to fight. I get to fight.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, it's like I said, it's if you're in it this long, as long as I've been in it, you're about to take your lumps and shake it off and keep coming and train as hard as you can and try to be the best you can on fight night, because that's all that matters. All the days leading up to it really don't. The only one that matters is fight night.
So, out of curiosity, what is the process when setting up a next fight? Do you contact people from UFC, hey, I'm ready, or it's just literally just a random call, we want you for here at this time?
I messaged Sean Shelby, the matchmaker, that works my weight class, a few days ago, telling him, you know, I'd be back into contact in early June, and I'd like to fight in August.
Yeah, yeah. I saw you posted today. You're going for, what is it, 30, right?
Yep, 30.
Now, I was curious, like, with the sport, you know, it's getting obviously, you know, bigger and bigger and bigger. More exposure and whatnot. How do you, you've been around for so long, you've seen the changes and whatnot. How do you feel when, like, I mean, I know you posted a hilarious song, but when you see, yeah, like, the Conor McGregor stuff and you see this bus incident and you see, you know, the media spectacle, do you view it like just completely ridiculous? Or do you think, like, I mean, obviously the bus thing's not great, but do you think this kind of media coverage is good for the sport either way?
I mean, the way that it's gotten is kind of like raising a child, right? If when a kid throws a temper tantrum, you reward them. you're not supposed to reward them as a parent, as the adult and the guardian, right? You're not supposed to reward bad behavior. But that seems to be what's happening right now.
Yeah,
is because the UFC, all publicity is good. There is no such thing as bad publicity, right? So, so they really don't care to a degree. Like, all right, well, you know, he did something really stupid. A couple of people got injured, dropped some fights from the card, really messed up.
Ridiculous.
You know, but. But he didn't say bad words on Twitter, right? He didn't say words on Twitter or joke about something that you know we shouldn't joke about. So yeah, we'll just don't worry about it. It's frustrating, you know, because the thing is, I've been told in all the, you know, in when we do the fighters meeting and all this stuff, like you've always heard it that, you know, for years now, trying to get the UFC to be, you know, mainstream. MMA needs to be mainstream. And now it's like, I think, like, well, either I have no idea what mainstream is.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
Or that's just been a lie, because it's what gets promoted is not, in my mind, what mainstream is, you know? Like, a vast majority of football players, a vast majority of basketball players and baseball players are hardworking, you know, normal people that are just exceptional at a game.
Yep.
Right. There are a lot of fighters like that in the UFC, and we don't get the reward that those guys get. The ones that get the reward are the ones that, you know,
trash talk,
do the messed up shit. You know, and it's like one thing to sell a fight. Okay, you go, you know, you go out and you want to sell the fight and stuff like that. But it's almost become this like, you have to do it this way, and if you want to make money, and that's bullshit because it shouldn't matter. Does it potentially help sell a pay-per-view? Yes, it does. I mean, we know that. We know that from boxing. I mean, people love drama. People love that stuff.
Yep.
But I mean, why does the fighter that's got the potential to be, you know, one of the best in the world have to do it that way? Why can't they just fight and get promoted for fighting and being a normal guy or girl that, you know, goes home to their kids every night and busts their ass and is you know, a good person?
Right.
You know,
right.
It just doesn't get promoted. I mean, there'd be, if that type of people got, you know, got paid for doing the right thing and being good people, I'd like to think that I'd be a freaking millionaire by now.
right.
You know, and it's like, and I think that there's quite a few other fighters under contract that would be as well, you know. But it's a business, and they're not in the business of making millionaires. They're in the business of making money themselves, and that's just the way that it is. So maybe it's my fault for not kind of conforming to what gets promoted.
So just shoot an arrow through a bus for your next fight.
Yeah, seriously. I was bringing a slingshot.
You're doing the first.
In the back of the head with it.
So what do you think about lately? There's been a ton of crossover with professional wrestling. I mean, obviously Lesnar, Bobby Lashley, Ronda went over to WWE. CM Punk has came over to UFC. What are like regular fighters' thoughts on all these pro wrestlers coming over and do that? Is it kind of, okay, we're all strong people, we're in the same boat, or is it almost looked at like you're not like us, for lack of a better term?
Well, I mean, I don't like it when we're compared, because it's a high intensity soap opera, right? It's a dangerous soap opera. It's not Days of Our Lives. I mean, they're actually getting hurt. They're actually doing these things that are risking their lives. And, you know, they're on the road, 250 more than that days a year. I mean, it's ridiculous what they do. But to compare us, I think is an insult to us, because it's not to take away from what pro wrestlers do, but I mean, this fighting is real. There is no script. There is no, you know, what we're doing is dangerous, and it might not be as dangerous as what they're doing. But there's no script, and the way that you promote yourself, or the way that you climb the ladder, is by victory and not by, you know, having the right look, wearing the right color spandex, you know, or cutting a promo. It's about winning, you know, and that's what I don't like. But, you know, I don't care about the crossover. I mean, if they wanted to bring me in to jump off the top ropes, you bet your ass I'm going to do it. You know, like, I mean, one, it's... I mean, performing is kind of fun, but you know, it's a way to make money. It's like when people rag on Ronda for going over. Man, come on.
Yep.
Like, she's making more money over there.
Yep.
with less pressure to perform. Like,
safer.
Let her do it. Like, stop being so negative.
So you're saying we won't see you in like a camo luchador outfit anytime soon?
If the price is right, you will. I don't think that I could, you know, I don't think I could handle travel, to be perfectly honest. But, like I said, you know, you want me to come for, you know, SummerSlam or something like that. I know it's happened. Things have gone haywire in the past, but I'll rappel from the freaking, you know, from the
camo blazer.
The rafters. Yeah.
Just be careful. Just be careful.
Just make sure, you know, 2 points of contact on, you know, your safety harness, 3 points in your body. Right.
So from a fighter's perspective, the Pennington fight over the weekend with her going out in that fifth round. Where do you stand with that? Is it something that we're not seeing where, like, you would want your coaches to put you out there, or is that like a kind of a gray area?
I I think that the coaches, you know, screwed that one up.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Right.
You know, the I mean, I don't want to say excuse that they used, but it's kind of an excuse, is that, you know, she would hate herself if she had done that, but she had taken enough damage already, you know, and she was broken.
Yes.
You know, like, I mean, that's hard. That's, you're not, I had this, let me tell a little story. I was doing physical therapy on my shoulder a few years ago. And there was this therapist there and, you know, just helped me do some of these exercises and stuff. And we started talking about fighting and, you know, when you're in the fight, and she's like, oh, so what happened? You know, like when you get hurt, you know, you just, you dig down deep and you get through it. I was like, well, you don't always get through it. You try to, but you don't always, well, you have to always get through it. You just have to tell yourself that you're going to get through it. I'm like, this isn't the movies.
Yeah.
Sometimes you can't, you know,
right.
You want to, but sometimes you can't. And I mean, this was an instance of she wasn't going to. She wasn't going to be able to, you know, hit that grand slam, you know, right. Bottom of the ninth, bases loaded, you know, like.
And I guess it just becomes that much more dangerous too when you're, you know,
yeah.
When you don't want to be there at all.
Yes. You know? Yeah. You know, and I mean, I think it would have been the better thing, because she could have gone out and just turtled right up and gotten TKO'd right there.
Yeah.
You know, and that probably would have, you know, really eaten at her if she'd done something like that and really found her way out. But, you know, I mean, she asked for help. And as a corner, I mean, that's what you're there for. Like, I get such tunnel vision when I'm fighting that I'm almost not coachable in a fight.
Right.
And it's not that I'm, you know, trying to disregard what my corner's saying, but all I see is my opponent. You know, I'll occasionally hear things and stuff like that, but I get, like I said, the tunnel vision is so intense that, to a detriment sometimes. But, you know, you have your corner there for when shit goes bad.
Right, right. Like for those moments.
That's what I look at my corner to do. Like, my I know that I have people that are going to do what they need to do to protect me, you know? If the ref's not doing their job, if something happens, you know? Like, and granted, the things that can happen nowadays are different than what could have happened in the past, but I've heard all the stories of, you know, the 1990s in Brazil and Vale Tudo, and, you know, like, Penzo getting cut with a box cutter when he was pressed up against the cage in a brawl, you know, like, tapping the guy out, but the fight continues, and, you know, all this shit happens, and that's what the corner's there for, you know? Like,
right.
I mean, they're there to climb over that cage if they need to climb over that cage to protect you, you know? And it was a few months ago when we saw, like, in the stream of a week or so, you saw a couple of different fighters get choked unconscious, and the other fighter either was trying to get the ref's attention and the ref wasn't paying attention, or they were too focused and didn't know, and the person was clearly out.
Yeah.
Clearly out, and, I mean, that's why I have guys in my corner. If something bad happens, you know, to clear that fence. Oh, okay. Well, yeah, suspend me. It's illegal to throw anything into the octagon. You know, you'll get suspended. Well, yeah, but the fight's gonna stop.
Yeah.
And that's if you need to throw something into the cage to get the fight stopped, you need to throw a towel into the cage. You throw a fucking towel into the cage. Like,
right.
Mm-hmm. You know. Yeah, that corner, I mean, she asked for help, and they didn't help her, and it's a shame.
It's tough to watch, almost, you know? Like,
And you even see some fights, even, like, the opponent who's being the person is, like, looking at the ref, I don't want to continue, but you tell me, and it's just a shame.
Uh-huh.
So I'm not sure if we brought this up in the last interview we did, but what's your walk-up song and how did you pick it?
It changes here and there, you know. For a while, it was Creedence Clearwater Revival.
I'm going to see John Fogerty next weekend.
Yeah, nice.
It's gonna be awesome.
Yeah, you know, Bad Moon Rising, it just, I don't know, it got me fired up. It always got me fired up. And, you know, I played with a couple other ones in recent fights. This last one I came out to...
Wrecking Ball by Miley Cyrus?
No, not this time. Yeah, no. That's my retirement song.
Yeah.
whatchamacallit? It's a long way to the top if you want to rock and roll.
Well, tying into that, you recently in the last year or two, you really had no nickname before, and you implemented a nickname. Where did that come from?
You know, I've been playing with it for a while. Like, I mean, back in the day, everybody was like, "Oh, well, you need one." It's like, you know what? I don't need one.
Right.
But you know, branding Jim Miller is not easy. Like, you know, like. Branding milk, you know, like, I mean, it's just, it hasn't been easy. So like, what kind of logo am I gonna come up with for, you know, for Jim Miller? So I've always liked the A10 Warthog. I had a picture on my wall when I was a kid, and it's kind of a play on things, you know. It's like, yep. A10 is my you know, my nickname, but like the Warthog, you know, because it's like the animal. I'm short, smelly, hairy, and short and smelly.
Yeah. Oh, keep going. No.
And ugly. That's it.
Oh, gotcha.
But you know, yeah, and you know, I mean, the A10 is it's not a fighter jet, right? You know, it's it takes punishment well, and it dishes it out. And it's kind of like how I fight, you know?
So as we get to the end here, you know, you touched on it before. You know, you started thinking about what the next thing might be, whatnot. Like, where do you see yourself going? Do you see yourself getting into, like, maybe like lighter things, like this combat jiu-jitsu? You have any interest in that? Do you have interest in trying out any other federations? Or are you just going to keep doing your thing until you feel, you know, feel it's ready to stop or ready to move on? What are your plans going forward?
I don't know. No. You know, I haven't really thought about, like, doing, you know, any of the jiu-jitsu circuit and stuff like that.
Yep.
You know, and we'll see what, you know, what happens with my career in the UFC. Mm-hmm. If I'm ready for, you know, if I'm not ready, but if I'm willing to continue on after, you know, after my UFC career is over, and, you know, we'll see where things go. If I can perform the way that I felt leading up to this last fight, then,
right.
You know, I'm confident in my abilities, and I'm confident I'll be around and can compete against, you know, the best guys. You know, the last couple of years have been trying. I will not. I'm not going to argue that.
Right.
You know, it's
yeah.
But I've been dealing with more than just fighting. You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah. If who knows? Who knows what it's going to be? But the thing with me is that, like, when I decide to get out of fighting, it's going to be 100%. I'm not going to come back. You know, I don't want to do that, because every time that we've seen it from other fighters, they're always kind of half-assing it. You know, you can see that there's doubt. I'm not about that, right? You know, like, so I wanna fight my last fight knowing that it's my last fight, and
go out on your terms.
Walk away you know, do it on my terms and be ready for that next thing, and be ready to focus like I focus on fighting on that next thing.
Yep.
And I'm excited for that. I'm excited to find it. I'm excited to, you know, to really to put the effort and the energy that I put into MMA, you know, competing in MMA, into something else. It's probably going to be singing.
Now, we brought up a little bit earlier how you're a fan of craft beers and all. What's your go-to type of beer? And also, being an athlete, do you have a higher tolerance f- for alcohol, or is your body so in shape that it actually takes it away from you?
I'd say that it's just right on par with normal when it comes to my tolerance. But the thing is I don't drink a lot. Like,
sure.
I don't.
Just kidding.
I mean, I did this last weekend, but, you know, my go-to's, like the session IPAs, I'm a big fan of those. Founders All Day IPA is probably my favorite, like, perfect beer. I mean, you know, enough flavor and enough in there, but you know, it's not going to get you banged up if you have two or three.
Yep.
But that's really usually where I leave it, you know, like, I mean, I will have a beer while I'm mowing the lawn, or you know, with dinner or something like that. But that's usually it. Like, I'm not, I try to avoid pretty much getting drunk.
Yeah.
You know, like I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, on occasions in social situations, sometimes, you know, you
right.
Add a couple, I don't drink a lot, but when I do drink, I share it on Instagram.
Jim, last question here. As a father, you know, you have two kids, right?
Four.
You have four kids? Dude. Holy
Where
crap.
Have you been?
I'm sorry. They're not on Instagram enough. I can't keep track.
But, he was busy that year since we last talked.
Yeah. So being a father, being a husband, and being in such a, you know, a sport that, you know, is so violent and you can change things in a dime, do you get pushback from the family at all? Like, it's time to focus on hanging up, or are they completely supportive? And I also, do your kids kind of know what you do, or you kind of keep them out of it?
My kids know what I do. They don't, they haven't really watched too many fights.
Okay.
They've watched a couple of them. They know what it is.
Right.
I mean, all my kids have been there for sparring and watched me so they know that, like, it's kind of fighting, but we call it wrestling. Right? there's really no pushback. I mean, it is my job, you know. I love it, but it is my job. So you know, my wife gives me support because this is how, you know, I provide for the family.
Yep.
You know, and she knows what I've had to deal with and still showing up, you know, because this is how I provide for my family. So, you know, I've got an unbelievable amount of support, and, you know, we've definitely had our talks about what is next and when it should be. You know, we'll see where it goes. And like I said, if everything falls in place like it should, you know, I think I've got a few more years of this. So, you know, it's definitely, something I do get a lot of support. You know, the weird thing is that my kids, they don't fully understand.
Yeah. Right? Well, that's what I was wondering.
You know, my dad, he wouldn't even have to raise his voice. He would just look at us and it'd be like, snapping the line, you know? And it's like, you know, you little punks, I beat up people for a living.
Yeah, whatever, Dad. Well, just pop a little bit of that Joe Lozon fight in and show
exactly.
Them.
Yeah. You know, I actually, my oldest had to get her blood drawn, because she had a tick bite. So we were getting her tested for Lyme, and she was petrified of it. So I showed her some pictures from the Lozon fight, because she's like, I don't want blood, you know? And I'm like, Amelia, I was like, look at daddy. Like, look at me. Look at all that blood. You see me crying? No. And it worked. She kicked ass with it. I mean, she went fighter mode and kind of just.
That's awesome.
Like, she looked at it while it was happening and stuff like that. And you know, kind of just like, bit down on her mouthpiece basically and took it. But yeah, Luckily, they haven't watched any of the like the bloody ones.
Yeah,
it's weird. I keep losing fights, but I'm the father of the year, apparently.
Yeah. Well, Jim, it's always a pleasure, man, and we hope to talk to you in a, you know, maybe another year or so. And you know, you've built up not only just a reputation as a fighter that, you know, takes any fights and has entertaining fights and puts it all out there, but you've also built up quite a reputation as just a good guy, a funny guy. So I look forward to that just as much as I do your fight. So thanks again for giving us some time.
No problem. Thank you for having me on, guys.
And go shoot some turkeys in the face, man.
All right, we'll do.
Take care. The one and only Jim Miller.
I just see somebody in Wisconsin like walking in a field and just see these faceless turkeys. Like, what the hell happened here?
maybe that's like should be his thing. Like, come in the ring with like turkeys like draped over his shoulders. You know, like
just his whole robe made out of turkey feathers.
he's such a good guy, man. Like, I could see him getting like I don't know, I could see him being like a commentator of some sort, like a color analyst, you know what I mean, like giving insight and being funny, and you know, like Daniel Cormier has turned into one of the best announcers, and he's still active fighter, and but he's like, he's great because he shows his personality. I could see Jim doing something very similar, like doing some kind of MMA show or you know, something like that. So,
I mean, nowadays with like Fox and all of them, it's almost a benefit to be more funny than no stuff sometimes. I mean, you look at like Charles Barkley and Shaq and stuff like that. I mean, people talk about them for just busting on each other. They don't even talk about, oh yeah, he knows a lot about basketball,
Yeah, it's true. Like, here's a guy who he should be more celebrated, you know? Like, he has so many fights, and, you know, he's a genuine dude. He's a normal Jersey guy. Like I think, like, Stipe Miocic, the, you know, the heavyweight champ, you know, he's got a great story. He's still a firefighter in Cleveland, which is awesome. You know what I mean? Like, that's a great story. Those are the kind of guys that I think should be promoted. You know what I mean? Like, as much as I openly admit how much I love Connor, like, the bus thing, it was ridiculous. You know, like...
Oh, that was insane. It's like, all right, you got your point making the scene, but it's like, no, let me get this guardrail through the bus.
It's just ridiculous. But, yeah, I love talking to Jim, man. He's a really interesting dude. So,
great guy.
Jim Miller. All right, we are back again. So I guess right before we left off, you know, right before we got to Jim, we were talking about your imaginary friends. So they're all animals. They're all animals. No, it's funny.
All that I can remember.
You killed off the human ones.
I know I had more. Like, I remember Woody and the octopus and the walrus. And I have a feeling there was more out there, but I can't remember it off the top of my head. You almost did a spit take there.
I almost just... Well, the seriousness you just said, you know, I know there was more.
Yeah.
But I can't remember the names.
Yeah.
Now, when you were... When you were imagining these guys, did anybody ever find out about them? Like, were you ever like, Mom, I was playing with what was the walrus's name? Wally?
Wally, yeah.
I was playing with Wally.
It was Ollie the octopus.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I was playing with them, like, and was she ever like, what the hell is this kid doing? Or was this like a complete secret?
I remember telling my mom. I mean, it's not like I went to school and tell kids I had imaginary friends or anything like that. I mean, I was, like I said, I was probably like 5 or 6. What was that, kindergarten, first grade, something like that?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it wasn't a thing, hey, come over to the house. I got this imaginary octopus there and all we can all play with.
Now, when you would go on your adventures, like, what would be a mission for you? And did your squad have a name? Like, were you Woody Woodpecker and the Burloo Crew or something like that? Like,
a name doesn't come to mind. No, I just remembered like running around the yard and like having some kind of adventure, like a specific one. I can't think of one coming to mind.
Like, was there did you create a villain that, like, you're always trying to stop?
No, no, I wasn't that good. I didn't make the Avengers yet, no. And I guess it would just be something like I'd be playing like by myself. I'd have like a football, and I'd be like, "Ah, this is my team," and all. And go catch it, Woody, and that kind of stuff.
Great hands. He had great hands. That's hilarious.
I mean, it was nothing in particular. If I think of anything, I'll bring it on the show. I don't blink an eye to it, but nothing's really coming to mind where I had this specific adventure with the crew, and like we were in danger of this and that and whatever. It was just a 5-year-old in his yard by himself and all just thinking, playing around with some imaginary friends.
You got to give me the list because I just thought of that. We have a fellow comic who's a pretty good animator who I think his... I think his drawing skills would lend perfectly to this. So we have to get a picture of you and the crew drawn up.
Yeah.
I'll just think
of the rest of them. Is it Trumbull or Natty?
I was thinking Natty. Natty's style, stylistically, I think it would look like a good cartoon.
It would.
Well, that's good. It's funny you say that because I'm sure you've probably seen Nora. I was just talking the other day about things that were like weird growing up, there, like things that my parents did that, you know, then like my dad would, my dad went through this weird phase where he played the song Miami from, remember Will Smith's rap song Miami?
Welcome to Miami.
Yeah, yeah. My dad like loved that song. Like loved that song to a point where like we got him the album and he would like, you know, I remember not having a car at the time. Like, he picked me up from work because I was under, you know, not 17 yet. And he'd just be like, bah, bah, party in the city where the heat is on, all night at the break. And I'm like, oh, my God, Dad, why are you listening to this? And he, like, loved it. And, like, it's funny because even today we just kind of hooked him up with, like, in the last 2 years or year with, like, Pandora and Spotify. So he's just really getting into, like, you know. So, like, he has a Spotify.
I was hoping you were about to say you got him Spotify and he only got that one song and he plays it on a loop. Man, there's like 2 million songs on here. Don't need another one. Got it, boy.
There's only one. There's only one. But he, like, he'll walk around with the Bluetooth. We got him a Bluetooth speaker. So, like, mm-hmm. he'll connect, like, no matter. We'll be in the middle of a conversation in the living room with everybody and, like, you'll see him connect. Like to his speaker and just play, and he'll walk around with a Bluetooth speaker in his pocket, like so he's just streaming. Mm-hmm. He's like this walking streaming music source, like, and he's obsessed with like he's got a playlist. It's like Kool & the Gang, Hall & Oates. It's always Hall & Oates, and then it's always Africa from Toto. Like he'll be walking around, Mr. Man, and he just like walks down the hallway, and it gets you know. You know, it's so weird, man. It's just such a dad move. It's like such a.
I just see you guys like have a Memorial Day barbecue, and you're all chatting as a family, and all, and you're seeing your dad coming, and all. You see the little. And, what did he pick it up? Oh God! No! Dad, don't come here! Dad, don't come here!
Do you remember? It's September. He loves that one. He loves I'm trying to think of the whole
now is
song.
He reacting as these songs are going along, or is he just walking around like it's a normal day and just plops
no reaction
Toto in front of him?
Zero reaction. Just it's always playing in the background, like I missed the man. Like, hey Dad, like, and we're like, you know, my dad's like pretty deaf, like he has hearing aids now, like decent hearing mm-hmm. aids now, but he's still, you know, not all. So it's always loud too. Like it's always, yeah, you know. Yeah. So I was like, Dad, can you turn it down? Like we've heard Africa for 14 plays in a row. Like enough. And I'll just sit there sometime and just he's like fascinated by the fact that he could stream music, which is fascinating 5 years ago. But he's a special guy.
Where do they put the records in here? I don't get it. Isn't there that I had to replace in a couple of years?
It's like that scene from Zoolander. They're in the computer, and they smash the computer, you know. but I don't know.
I'd put another song in there, but I don't think it would fit in here.
So yeah, that's my dad, everybody. What do you got over there?
I just came from a sanctuary in Georgia, and I found that a bear and a tiger can exist together as friends. It was
I saw you post
special.
This, and I was interested. So it was like a fenced in area, like it's a park, or
yeah, it's called the. Let me bring it up. It's the Noah's Ark. Sanctuary, and I don't know what city it's on in eastern Georgia, but it's like a regular animal sanctuary. They have different things, like they have stuff for horses and pigs and monkeys and stuff like that. But apparently there was a drug bust, and this drug lord had a lion, a tiger, and a bear. Some like status symbol.
That's awesome.
And so they had the drug raid, and they said like all three of them were now Mirish, but they were also kind of like friends, because I mean they were all cubs or pups, whatever you call bait cubs for bears and whatever. So they kept at the time three of them together: the lion, the tiger, and the bear.
Oh my!
Now, unfortunately. Yeah, they called the BLT to not do the...
It's online here. There's a picture of the three of them eating out of a bowl, basically, all three of them.
Yeah, now the lion passed away about 2 years ago. Unfortunately, they said it had some inoperable items on its liver, so they had to put it down. But like the bear and the tiger, like... The bear, I thought they had a sofa up on this bin. And then I realized it
huge.
Had a head.
That's awesome.
Yeah, he's like 700 pounds. And it's like 90 degrees, and like the tiger comes out, and it seems almost like friendly, because you can see it's acting almost like a trained animal. It's like smiling and walking up to the cage. So like the bear sees it go out, and it goes out, and they rub heads together, and they're like literally best friends, and it's like the cutest little thing. But it was just one of those moments, like I read the sign, it's like they saved it from a That's drug lord. Awesome. I'm like, that is so awesome. I want to hear about this drug lord. I want to interview the guy in jail now. It's like I just have so many questions about where you got them and where you put them and how. Like, if somebody pissed you off, are you like, you want to go in the tiger cage? You want to go in there? I'm the drug lord. Don't mess with me.
Yeah.
Like, he would sound like that.
Oh, yeah, probably. But, yeah, the bear looks gigantic. Like, he looks pretty awesome.
Oh, it's insane. And it was pretty hot, too. You know it's pretty hot when Izzy's like, can we go home 10 minutes into it? It was like
All right.
90
I
degrees.
I get it. Bear, tiger, whoop-dee-doo. I see that every day.
I mean, you see her. I mean, she's like me. She sees a dog and she will stay with it for an hour. Like, we had nothing but like free range of animals, and she's just like, can we go? I'm like kind of technically dying here right now.
Mm-hmm. So I found a little information here. So it says, as cubs, okay. A lion, a tiger, and a bear have been owned by a drug dealer who do not properly care for them. The bear's harness grew into his skin because the owner did not alter it as the animal grew. They had been abused and neglected early in life, but were finally rescued. The bear's harness was surgically removed.
Wow.
After they had been taken in the animal sanctuary in Georgia, the staff tried to separate them due to obvious concerns that the three large predators would fight. During the trial of separation, the animals were uncooperative and behaved poorly. Once reunited, the three calmed down and were all well-behaved. 12 years later, they spent the days playing, cuddling, and eating together. Wow.
Yeah, so that's Baloo, Shere Khan, and Leo was a lion that passed away.
You're my boy, Leo. Day. You're my boy.
Pour a little 40 for you, Leo. I would see Scarface too if it involved a lion, a tiger, and bear. I've never seen Scarface, but I would see the sequel and not the original just because of a lion, tiger, and a bear.
You've never seen Scarface?
Never seen Scarface.
Wow. Maybe we could we can do a Scarface, I don't know, like a,
yeah, I mean,
some kind of watch or something like
that. I don't think I've, I mean, mafia movies, I haven't seen a lot of them. I don't think I've fully seen Godfather.
Jesus.
I know I haven't seen Godfather 2. Lord knows nobody's seen Godfather 3 because it's atrocious. Never saw Casino.
Oh, these are like some of my favorite movies.
Mm-hmm. I saw Reservoir Dogs. Not really a mafia movie.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. Get some others out. Let me see if I can
Goodfellas
or not.
Goodfellas
I saw.
Yeah.
That was good.
Heat.
Never saw.
Casino, you said you didn't see. What about like The Departed? Like that was a relatively mob movie, but it's like the Irish mob or whatever.
No, didn't see that one.
Jesus, Mike. You see a lot of movies, I feel like.
I don't see it terribly. Not like in the old days. I mean, like, pretty much, if I go to movies, I'll see the Deadpool sequel. I'll see the, I'll probably end up seeing the Solo movie. I'm hearing good reviews on that, but I don't usually lot. Like, before that, and before Avengers, I saw Blockers. I guess it's technically Cock Blockers. That's a John Cena comedy. But I can't even tell you.
Why would you do that to yourself?
That was actually a decent. I was surprised by that. It was my dad's birthday, and he was waiting on some stuff. Like he got some skin cancer removed, and he wasn't into eating any junk food or going out or anything. So that was like the one thing I could think of. I'm like, this looks like a funny movie, Dad. And I'll admit, going into it, I'm like, I know this is going to be so goddamn stupid. I'll give him credit. It was a good plot. It was pretty damn good. I will give him credit. And I'm not even giving them like a slant, like good job. Like it was, I laughed out loud quite a few times in that movie, but I will say like the Melissa McCarthy movie coming out, I won't go see that. That looks atrocious. I saw Tammy in the theaters and that was like the worst movie I ever saw in the theaters ever. I don't get the whole Melissa McCarthy thing.
Yeah, I'm not big on her either. I was just talking at work today. Like, I don't, I feel like the last, like, five movies I've seen in the theater were either superhero movies or Star Wars. Like, I gotta go see some other movies, man. I think we lost Mike. We lost him. Let's hang up on him. I'm Mr. Brain.
This time.
Don't you ever leave me like that again.
I'm sorry.
But
you complete me.
Yeah, no, I was just saying, like, I haven't seen, like, a normal movie in the theater in a long time, like a non-superhero or Star Wars movie. The only thing I, like, get excited to go see. And that I, like, that
like,
I,
no actors or anything like Charlie Day, for example. You don't go out to see his other movies?
Nah, never seen any of his other movies. Oh, I saw I saw Horrible Bosses. I saw that, but I didn't see like Pacific Rim or anything like that. I don't know. I haven't been too into the movies as of late. Like the last couple of years, I don't mind the. I guess I go see like the bigger, like ones that I think would be big, good on a movie screen, like the superhero movies and whatnot. But I don't know. I guess I'm losing it.
I mean, I can't think of, like, in the past, there was always, like, the big summer movies, and it was a different large variety, a different, I mean, there would be the action movies and stuff like that, but I can't think of anything outside of, like, the Marvel genre in the last few years that's like, oh, gotta go see that, or anything like that. Like, there's no, like, remember, like, Bad Boys was, like, a huge summer movie, Independence Day. Like, we don't get those anymore. If it's not Marvel or Star Wars, it's, like, whatever.
I know. It's They're taking over the world, but I guess we never followed up on the Avengers here real quick before we go here. So I guess I was wrong on my my death picks.
Yeah, I don't think you hit any of them.
No, I went with Iron Man, and I thought I was right for a second, and then you know, then they healed him up, but. And at this point, if people are listening and we're spoiling it, it's been like 3 weeks. Go see it.
You know, yeah.
It's your fault. Your fault.
It made $1 million. You deserve to find out now what happened if you didn't go see it yet.
Yeah. I thought it was good, especially for how many characters there were. I liked it. It was definitely good. The villain was good. Sets it up for the next one, obviously. So, now the whole Captain Marvel thing. I don't know her too well. I remember, like, you know, just seeing like comics back in the day. But what's her deal?
I don't really know. I mean, like, when I saw the post credit thing, and I had to Google it to find out who exactly that was setting up. I mean, I can Marvel. Let's do a little Wikipedia here to see Captain Marvel. Let's see, a superhero film. Yes, we know that. A U.S. Air Force pilot whose DNA is fused with that of an alien during an accident, which imbues her with the power of superhuman strength, energy, projection, and flight. Okay. Larson described Danvers as a believer in truth and justice and bridge between Earth and space. She's fighting between the flaws that are within her and all that is good with that. She wants to try and spread the... Okay, she's Superman. I mean, this is after 5 minutes, it's like, all right, we get the gist. I mean.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we'll see what if that's going to be cool or not, and if she's going to be the reason they turn. I think, obviously, something with Doctor Strange there and his time travel is going to be what... They're going to be able. I remember that his like Asian assistant Wong or whatever his name was. Mm-hmm. We never saw what happened to him, so maybe he knows like a way to turn back time or whatever and get them back, well, and they all unite for that last battle. I don't know. We'll see.
Mm-hmm. For what I understand, like all the posts of the comic book geeks, what the rumor is. Apparently, Ant-Man can get so small that somehow he can pass through time, and that's what apparently that was in one of the comics. So I don't know. I'm not excited about Ant-Man and Wasp. I'll probably go see it, but at the same time, it's like I don't want Ant-Man saving like the good superheroes. It's like no.
I didn't even miss. No. I did not miss Ant-Man. I was like, eh, whatever.
No. Hawkeye and. Not missed that movie.
Yeah, well, what's the deal with Hawkeye? He's not in these? I remember he, like, retired or whatever.
In the movie sense, they quote-unquote claim that him and Ant-Man took a deal from Civil War where they're imprisoned at home or stay-at-home arrest, if you will, so that's why they don't go out. But as for why he wasn't in the movie, they never officially came out and said anything, which probably means it's set up. I mean, they kept all the originals in there, so I gotta think he shows up and they do something that's like one last group hurrah to defeat Thanos. But I mean, I will say that I thought it was kind of cool how they quote unquote killed off like Spider-Man and Black Panther, and like at first you're like, damn, that's ballsy, but then in the second half it's like, well, I already know they got movies coming, so
yep.
I already know they're coming back. So it's almost like I give them a check for doing something new, but at the same time, I'm like, well, I already know the answer.
Yeah.
I don't think Disney sat back and said, you know what? We don't need that extra couple billion. Nah. Let's give the fans something to talk about. That's what we really want.
Unless those other movies are like different storylines before it or something. I don't know. We'll see.
I mean, they can technically do it. Apparently, Black Panther was also played by his sister at some point in the movie. So they'll always have leeway. They'll always figure out something.
Well, Black Panther ain't going anywhere. It made them a bazillion dollars. So there will be at least another two Black Panther movies. So
Well, here's the truth. Walt Disney came back to life, and he's like, are you telling me we made a black superhero movie? Oh, hell no. Kill that guy off now.
Wait. We made a black superhero movie?
Kid, that superhero kid or Spider-Man, whatever. Take him out, too.
Wait, you're telling me we made a black superhero movie? Wait. What? It's the number one movie? Wait, what? It's the number one in our franchise?
They unfroze me, my head, and brought it back to life for this?
I hate this world. Freeze me again. Freeze me again.
But, that's it. Sell this place to Six Flags. I don't care.
But anyway, I think it's time to get the hell out of here. What do you say?
Yeah, that sounds good, man.
Yeah. Anything to promote there, Berlew?
Yeah. Normally, I don't promote a potential future guest, but in contact with this person, they asked me to promote this. So the Longview Comic Convention, as we were talking about comic books, June 2nd and 3rd at the Maud Cobb Convention and Activity Complex in Longview, Texas. This event will bring together a diverse list of vendors, artists, fan groups, and cosplayers. Guests scheduled to appear include Austin St. John from Power Rangers, Jake the Snake Roberts, and future guest of the Verbal Shenanigans podcast, voice actor Michael Bell, who has voiced such people as Duke in G.I. Joe, Handy Smurf in the Smurfs, the Riddler in the Super Friends. He's been a part of the Transformers franchise, the Jetsons, and he's a great person. Come on out and see them. Tickets are $15 a day or $25 for the weekend. Go to longviewcomiccon.com to get your tickets.
Now he has to come on the show.
Yeah, he bet. I mean, all those people are going to come up to him in Texas and be like, bro, I can't wait for you on Verbal Shenanigans.
You said it. That means you have to come on. That means you have to come on. But I'm just going to promote the monthly Verbal Shenanigans comedy show. There are still seats available. It's free at Tap House 15. We got headliner Mike Morse this month, so he's always a great time. So it is free. It is
hilarious.
It is on the 30. I just want to make sure my dates are right. The 31st, the last day of the month. So, yeah, and go check out Jim Miller. Go check out Jim Miller on his Instagram. He's hilarious. So, I guess that's it with that, guys. Life is funny. Laugh at it. Go ahead.
Before we go, did you see? I think I somewhat pissed off the faces for Nirvana.
Yeah. I was gonna bring that up, but I was gonna save it just in case if he does actually respond. But yeah.
Oh, okay, so we'll talk about another time.
Yeah, let's talk about that next week.
I didn't do something stupid, fans. I nothing to do with the Nirvana faces or anything.
Well, go check out our Twitter, and you could find out. Dun, dun, dun. But anyway, life is funny. Laugh at it. Keep doing that. You're back. Adios, guys. See you next week.
Later.